Policy Conference. I bumped into Mike Tirico. Mike, how's your golf game?
Next question. Isn't that the famous line from somebody sometimes? Boy, it needs something. I need to get out and play a little bit. I actually got my index down to just above 10 during the pandemic. And I thought, this is it. I'm going to keep going that way. We restarted work. Got super busy with all the events that were delayed. And my index has had a rebound effect the other way. So I'm looking forward to a few months here this summer to get back up.
Yeah, I was going to, with such a busy schedule, it's got to be difficult to find your way onto the links. But you live in Michigan, and
yes,
we have so many great golf courses.
It's an amazing state. We live downstate.
Right.
Have the chance to play some really nice golf courses in Ann Arbor. Barton Hills is where we call home. It's a wonderful Donald Ross course. It's enjoying 100 years. Donald Ross came through this area and did such great work all around the Midwest. We're the beneficiaries of throughout Michigan. And then up here in northern Michigan, too, if you get the chance to come up in the summer, there's so many great courses and great options. I'll tell you what I found interesting last year. I think it was 2 years ago. No, it was part of last year. Just to be out on a course up here up north. And here was a group from Texas.
Yeah.
And here was a group from Louisiana. And I start talking to the folks at some of the golf shops here. And they've done a very good job, many courses of coming together, advertising down in that area.
Right.
Just like we see the advertisements for, come down to Florida, come down to Texas in the winter. They want to escape here in the summer. And more people have found what spectacular golf we have up here. So it's great to see the courses not only getting the play, which helps the economy, not just the golf courses, but the restaurants, the cities, the towns up north, but also the reputation for golf in Michigan is really at a high point right now.
Yeah, and you couldn't be more right. Texas, Atlanta, those places,
yeah. They
can't believe how cool it is, and then you can play until 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, well, that is the coolest part of the
yeah.
pool, right? You look for that late June evening where you can have dinner and then head out and see how many holes you can really get in before it gets dark. That is a joy, and you get up early in the morning, especially for folks who like to get out of the water, go camp, or do things. You can play golf early and then still have a full day with your family or with your friends. Golf up here is terrific. And we're really lucky as we see courses add on and add a new 18 here or a new 9 here, add the addition of the loop. There's so many different places that not only seen the growth, but it's been rewarded with a lot of good traffic. And the good news is the bad news, that you have to plan ahead
right
when you're going to play. And that's, darn, I used to be able to get out.
Just show up and get out. Yeah.
But that's okay. That's good news because that means the industry is healthy. Nationally, the industry was really
down. I mean, golf was down in the pre-pandemic.
It was. It was boosted by the pandemic.
Yeah.
I think we saw a lot of people find it. You can socially distance and still play and carry your bag or pull your bag. And, that summer really had a lot of adhesive to people's passion for the game. Like, I'll stick with this. I'll come back and do it. We'll see you then.
On the flip side of that, we saw Oakland Hills burn to the ground. And I wondered your thoughts. I spent a lot of time in Oakland Hills. I was a caddy there as a kid. But, it's such an iconic Michigan place.
It's so sad. We were there when Gil Hance and others were on site, and then many of the club champions at Oakland Hills did ceremonial tee shots to prison the new golf course back last summer. It was such a thrill for me to be there for that and to spend some time there and get through that clubhouse and the locker room and finish around there and go to many spots, just have a old one. We have multiple 19th hole options. It's such an iconic and beautiful place. And we've done some meetings in there with so many of the artifacts that were so beautifully displayed. And it's just heartbreaking. Yeah, every time you think about something else that you saw in that locker room, that clubhouse, that building that's now gone. I know knowing the folks there, I know some of the planning they're doing. They're going to try to get that thing back as beautiful as ever and maybe ready for the next 100 years of Oakland Hills. The great thing is the golf course is still there, and they're open, and they're servicing members and finding ways to get it done, which is kind of that Michigan spirit of get stuff done, but it is such a sad loss as happens.
Well, hopefully you're there in 2024 with NBC and U.S. Open coverage. That had to be one of the reasons why you chose NBC, to be able to have such a wide variety of sports to cover. I got a lot of questions for you there, but the Ryder Cup last year was kind of like the first event where we really had a lot of fans and noise and fanfare back. What was that like?
Yeah, that was fabulous. Wisconsin did such a great job, and the fans of Wisconsin, not dissimilar from the fans here, so passionate about it. It was a great place to host it, a wonderful event as well. You're right, to see the golf fans come back. That's been exciting. I think we've seen it incrementally here, event by event. We'll see it at the Rocket Mortgage Classic this summer.
Yeah.
Fans back in big numbers where they were limited last year because we didn't know where the regulations were going to stop when they had to be bailed out at the Detroit Golf Club. So we've had the fourth Rocket Mortgage Classic in almost four different iterations. We had the first one that happened, and I work with their giving board, their charity. The first one was almost on 9 months' notice. It was one of the quickest ramp-ups in the history of a PGA Tour event. And then the second one happened during the pandemic, so it was the fourth event, I believe, back to the tour. The third one happened as we were coming back, but we weren't sure how big. So this is a fourth event. It's really a fourth different set of plans. The folks have done rocked an incredible job, and I'm really excited for that event in July. It'll be an interesting time to see it in late July for the fans here as well. After the British Open, the Open, and the run to the FedEx Cup playoffs. Those are key weeks for the players. You'll see names playing because they need to earn their points to make the playoffs, make the Tour Championship and all that.
It's got to be, you probably have the same, similar experience than myself is, you played Detroit Golf Club, and you always wondered, what would it be like if the pros played here, and we see that, and it's really a cool experience.
It is, and you get to do that in a few different courses around the country. You see a place you've played, holes you know, and then watch the pros play, and you just get another appreciation for how great they are. One of my favorite things is my first golf event of the year, usually, is the Players' Championship in Jacksonville.
Right.
The second week in March, and I have to go see the players, say hi, and see some of the guys I haven't seen for a while. And you stand on the practice team. And I like to sit and watch a new player or two.
Sure.
Just watch them hit balls for 15 or 20 minutes and just get an appreciation. Their miss is our best shot of the month. They just don't miss. They are so good, so consistent. It's really a pleasure to watch them. Something like Rocket Mortgage Classic or even the LPGA events we have in the state, the Champions Tour events that we've had come through. So the chance to get up close and watch the best players in the world do it. Makes you kind of sad about your own golf game, but also if you admire it because you try to do it, you know how hard it is, and they do it like this almost all the time.
With their eyes closed.
Sure.
Going backwards a little bit, new guys on the tour, Scottie Scheffler kind of had his ascendancy at the Ryder Cup, and now, did you see this coming?
Oh, yeah, they saw four wins, almost five, before June 1st, right? Really incredible what he's been able to do, and it's a reminder of the guys coming out of college and the women coming out of college as well. I had a chance to spend some time on the Stanford golf team, women's golf team, about 3 or 4 weeks ago out in Northern California. And there are just so many big players. And they've had the national champion the last 2 years, and both years it was a freshman who won the national champion.
Wow.
A freshman who's now a sophomore, Rachel Heck. And then they had another freshman, Rose Zhang, win this year. That just shows you where this game is going. So many people are starting young, so many talented players at the college ranks, and that's why I mentioned that, because of the Scottie Scheffler, Sam Burns, guys who come out of the college ranks and been successful. The NCAA championships are going on this week. They showed highlights of Jordan Spieth against Justin Thomas when Texas played Alabama in the national championship several years ago. I think it's 20 years ago. Since then, both guys have won multiple majors, have a bunch of tour wins. The guys are coming right out and winning.
Ready to go.
That wasn't the case 20 years ago. When I was working with Curtis Strange and doing our ABC coverage,
sure,
we talk about 32, 33, 34. That's around the time when you start thinking about a guy to win a major. Played in 10 or 15. Not the case anymore. The people who show up, they got a chance, and they don't back down because they play against, in my opinion, such great competition in college. So to see a Scheffler of a season like this, it's not a surprise, but Sam Burns may outpace him this year. Sam wins a U.S. Open and has another title. He might win five in a major. It's crazy how good the golf is right now.
Yeah, and you're at Brookline in just a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't seen that golf course in a while. And neither have these guys. So this is going to be very interesting.
I'm excited to go because when you think back, the U.S. Open's been so long, even the Ryder Cup in 99, there are maybe one or two guys who have some institutional knowledge of the place, but it's 22 years removed, so their games are so different. So I love when we get majors at places like that. The guys haven't seen, haven't played. They'll all be brand new. There'll be a lot of guys ducking in the next week or so for practice rounds. The Monday, Tuesday, chipping and putting around the green, learning the golf course would be great. You know, a lot of the guys will use 3D flyovers.
Yeah.
Different technology to preview a course before they get there. So when they get on the first tee, it's not like, oh, where does this hole go again? They do their homework, I think, more than we used to watch people do their homework in golf. And I think that's because the margin of error is so thin and the technology has grown so much that they can do it. And as somebody said to me, if you're going to go play a golf course you haven't played before, you could probably find it online somewhere.
Yeah.
The flyovers of the golf course. It's worth doing because you get a chance to see what's ahead for you and you look forward to the golf round.
Well, and then Tiger hasn't really declared whether he's going to play or not. It was, you know, Augusta was one thing. It was a little bit of disappointing to see him, you know, make the cut, not disappointing, and then really not play very well.
Yeah, at Southern Hills and PGA. You know, I'll defer to Justin Thomas, who won that PGA. He's one of my favorite people on tour. What he said about Tiger, and he and Tiger are very close.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, having seen where Tiger was before the Masters, the fact that he made the cut in both and made it all the way through the weekend at Augusta and three-quarters of the way through at Southern Hills is remarkable.
Yeah.
And that says it all. There's no need for Justin to throw out any bouquets for Tiger. But it just tells you how challenging it was for him to do this and how impressive it was. And, you know, what we've seen at the U.S. Open, I think we'll probably know the week before. I do know that it's very important for him to play at St. Andrews.
Yes.
In his mind, he knows maybe he can play one more after this, one more Open, if at all, at St. Andrews. So I really think he wants to go back there. He's won twice there. It's the home of golf. It does mean so much to everybody who plays there. So I think he's going to do everything he can, even if it means not playing in the U.S. Open, to play at St. Andrews. But as we have noted before and been burned several times, I don't count that guy out of anything. He's just incredible. Really, really. We're so fortunate as announcers in this era to have had a front row seat for one, along with Jack Nicklaus, is the greatest run in the history of golf. So you can say Jack won more majors, greater champion, and I would agree with that because Jack did win more. This is a apples to apples comparison for major championships, right? Jack has 18, Tiger's won 15. So I'm in that camp. But I will argue that Tiger has had the biggest impact on the sport of anyone. That includes Arnold Palmer. Arnold made it commercially readily available, advertising, TV, all of that. But Tiger's impact on the game has taken it through the roof from where it was. And I would distinguish it by saying no golfer has had a bigger impact on the game
globally
in the last 75 to 100 years than Tiger Woods.
Well said, Mike.
We will be back with more with Mike Tirico here on Finding Fairways after this message from our good friends at carlsgolfland.com. It's time to check in with our good friends at carlsgolfland.com. I've got Tim Coyle on the phone. And Tim, you've just become a father again. So I'm wondering what you think your little kids are going to give you for Father's Day.
Well, I definitely, some golf stuff wouldn't hurt, but I definitely don't have enough, as much time as I used to golf now that we have three. But anything's good. Just time with them over the weekend's great.
Yeah, just so long as it's not a bad tie or cologne, your wife should know better by now that she just needs to hop on carlsgolfland.com.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. We have some great stuff going there right now as well.
Yeah, great TV ad running right now through the Memorial. I watched it yesterday. But there's one thing that they didn't talk about in that ad, and big news from Srixon.
Yeah, the Srixon promo just started. We have buy two, get one free while supplies last on basically all of Srixon golf balls. It only excludes a few models, but buy two, doesn't get one free. We have free shipping for Father's Day going on right now. So You're not even paying for shipping on those. You can't really beat that deal right now, to be honest.
You can't, and more guys on the tour are playing that Srixon ball.
It's an awesome ball, and it's been a great ball for a while. You know, the more and more people start to play it and recommend it to their foursomes, the more people are just adopting it.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's as quality as everything else out there, and at a slightly less price, and with you get an extra dozen when you buy two, you cannot beat that at all.
Nope, just jump over to carlsgolfland.com, and when you're shopping the Srixon balls, add three dozen to your cart, and one of them will automatically price correct itself to free. So it's a great deal.
On top of all the rangefinders that you have deals on and apparel, and as we talked about, if you want to really upgrade your dad, get him a fitting coupon from Carl's, and he can get some new equipment.
We always say with gift cards, it's the gift that always fits, right?
Well, I know it does for me, and I know what's coming from my son and daughter, and that's golf balls from Carl's. Thanks a bunch, Tim. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jerry. Happy Father's Day coming up for you.
With Mike Tirico.
Well said, Mike. One last question. We're with Mike Tirico here, and you can't talk golf now without talking about the LIV Tour. Greg Norman saw that Dustin Johnson reversed himself and is going to play over in London. So what are your thoughts in general, and then I have a specifics depending on what you said.
It's fascinating to see what they're doing. The whole term independent contractor for PGA Tour players has been used often, been thrown out many times. I think the definition of it needs to evolve.
Sure.
But the nature of golf has been of great respect for tradition and history. And that doesn't mean that the economics of it, the business part of it, should fall by the wayside in the name of history and tradition. So I don't begrudge anyone's individual choice to go play somewhere they can make more money. But you can't play both sides of the fence, because you are doing damage to the events that help make you when you go play in opposite events. If you're going to play in 1 year, that's fine. If you're going to go play in 2 or 3 years, those are times you're not playing on the PGA. So is there a setup where you can say, okay, I'm going to play in two live golf events. Okay, fine. Then you have to play in 3 PGA Tour events that you didn't play last year. There's a balance somewhere. I think the contract, I think once you become a tour member and get a tour card, there should be a set of rules and regulations that are spelled out. And if you don't want to do that, go somewhere else. But I think if that happened, that would be the best next step in the world of independent contracting. Okay, congratulations, you get your tour card. Sign this. This is what you're going to get in terms of revenue, sharing revenue, all these things. This is what you have to get to us. And if it's one live, got one or two times to play another tour, that's fine. Know what the rules are going in. I think a rewrite of that would benefit everybody. And we'll see if this thing plays out. And look, Dustin Johnson already lost the sponsor.
He
lost the sponsor already over this. And we saw what happened with those golfers as their sponsors left them because of the ties to Saudi Arabia and the reality of sports washing, which is happening with this. So we'll see what the next chapters are, but it's certainly going to be a changing time in golf.
So that said, where does Phil Mickelson go from here?
I think it's a separate conversation. It's not just what happened here with Live Golf. It's the gambling, the other stuff, the sponsors leaving him, and all the sponsors left him.
Right.
So where does he and his words? I think the lack of thought before his comments really is what makes it hard to believe that you comfortably said, I'll take money from anyone, including Saudi Arabia with their background, just to kind of bring down the PGA Tour. To paraphrase, that's what he said.
Right.
I mean, for a guy who's won and been so successful in the PGA Tour, why do you want to bring it down that bad? If you want to work for financial growth, change, new opportunities, new definitions of the role.
That's great.
Work with them. Because you've meant a lot to them, but they've meant a lot to you. And so have your fans. I don't know what the easy way back is for him. I do think because he has been so popular with the fans, I think that there will be an opportunity for him to re-engage. I don't think you see a lot of the players running back to defend him because I don't know if he's the most popular of the players on tour. It doesn't mean I don't respect him, but I think over time he's not been one of the beloved guys amongst the tour players. So we'll see how it plays out. I hope he finds his way back to the tour. An apology and your actions can go a long way in correcting a mistake like this.
Mike Tirico, I got to ask you 1,000 more questions, but I know you got to go. Thanks for taking a few minutes to join us here on Finding Fairways, and we'll look forward to seeing you at Brooklyn.
I look forward to that. Thank you. Great to visit with you. Great to be up here, and I like the title of the show. I'll keep it in mind as I try to bring that index back down a little bit.
I got to ask you one last question. Sure. Have you been to Owashtama, the golf course on the other side of the island here?
I have not. This is only the second time I've been to the island.
Uh-huh.
Even though I've lived here for 20-plus years. And the first time I played the golf course here, that was a treat.
Yeah.
Cool greens, neat golf course, a lot of fun. So I need to do the full experience next time when we play nine, get on the horse-drawn carriage, and go over and face the next nine.
It's an amazing place, a Civil War battlefield there and everything else, and there's really not another golf course like it, at least in the United States, if not the world.
It's the beauty of Michigan with so many gems and so many different stories. You can spend a whole month up here and play 30 different golf courses just in northern Michigan, and they all have a story and memory. So I will add that to the list. I remember biking by there with our kids when they were younger. Like, there was no chance at that point of exploring the golf course. Now that they're a little bit older and they play some golf too, I'll add that for you next time we come up this way.
Mike Tirico from NBC Sports, thanks for joining us on Finding Fairways.
So that was a fantastic opportunity for me to interview Mike Tirico. I just literally bumped into him at the Mackinac Island Policy Conference this past week. Wanted to get his thoughts on the world of golf as it stands right now. I hope you enjoyed that. The conversation for the LIV Tour and the PGA keeps getting, you know, murkier and murkier, not clearer. And Mike indicated it there, and we've talked a couple times prior to this about it being headed to court, and I think that's really unavoidable. It'll be very interesting to see what happens with Dustin Johnson especially. You know, he's qualified for the U.S. Open, which takes place in a couple of weeks, and I doubt that the USGA is going to stand behind the PGA Tour and bar Dustin Johnson, a former U.S. Open champion and qualified for the tournament in a number of different ways. He's in the top 50. He's the 13th player in the world right now. He's on a 10-year exemption for winning the Masters. So I don't see how they could possibly bar him from the tournament. And that would be a question as well for the other major that's left in this year, the Open Championship. I don't see the RNA keeping Dustin Johnson out of the golf tournament for playing in the Saudi League. So will Johnson play in all these LIV events and further upset the PGA Tour? You know, Jay Monahan has said there are severe sanctions awaiting those who play in this tour. Dustin Johnson's a pretty big star. And, you know, a couple of months ago, he said that he was his allegiance was with the PGA Tour, obviously for 100 million or plus reasons. He's changed his thoughts on that. I understand the PGA Tour's issue with this, a competitive tour that will eat into the events on the tour that have huge sponsors and dollars are involved. It's already been an issue for the PGA Tour for a number of years of the big stars not showing up at certain events like the John Deere Classic and those. The AT&T's, Travelers Insurance, big sponsors, Rocket Mortgage, putting their name on events for millions and millions and millions of dollars, and then, you know, you get B players. It makes it problematic for the tour. So we will continue to monitor this situation. And coming up next, we'll run a segment from a few weeks ago talking about the Boyne Golf Academy with Joe Charles here on Finding Fairways, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. Back to Finding Fairways here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. Jerry Coyne is live in studio on the phone with my co-host Joe Charles, who's the Director of Golf Instruction at Boyne Golf Academy. And Joe, with the explosion of golf and some of the things that we referenced in the last two segments, I got to imagine that your bookings are already past what you did in 2021.
Yeah, so I was, you know, we just had our managers meeting this morning, and we kind of report some of our numbers to the different departments and stuff like that. And we're at about 65% right now already on our books for what we did for the entire year. That's in, you know, golf schools and
wow.
Different, you know, lessons and stuff like that, junior golf camps and, you know, things like that. So that's pretty exciting. I mean, we're opening tomorrow, and we've already – you know, we're going to be adding a lot more, you know, students in the months to come. So it's definitely on a very good trajectory right now. There's still time. You know, anybody wants to book a lesson, we still have some availability. I will warn you, though, if you wait too long, you know, if you get into, like, June, for example, our instructors will be booked 3 to 4 weeks out at some points. You know, so you don't want to wait and have to, you know, you have a tournament coming up and you want to get ready for it, but you can't get a lesson for 4 weeks. You don't want to be in that situation for sure.
No, especially with depending when the tournament is, because you don't want to be in the middle of getting some adjustments to your swing and then have to take it out on the course before you're ready.
No, yeah, you want it to be unconscious movement, not conscious movement. That conscious movement doesn't really equate well when you're under pressure, that's for sure.
Obviously, you have a number of different types of students, so nobody is really the same. You've got experienced players that need to get better or want to improve just a segment of their game, and then you've got people that are just getting back to the game and want to erase some bad habits. When somebody reaches out to you guys, what is the first thing that you do?
Yeah, so, you know, in our first initial session, we start all of our students off the same way, no matter what, and that's with a diagnosis lesson. And during that diagnosis lesson, we're going to do three things for the player. But the first thing we're going to do is interview them, and we're going to sit down and talk and, you know, and kind of establish some goals and get a little bit of background about them, about their sports background, any physical injuries they may have had. You know, there's a lot of really valuable information that we can get just by talking and just getting to understand the person a little bit better. The second thing that we do is a little bit of a physical assessment. So that's where we take the student through the 16 physical screens of TPI, which our instructors are certified in, and we get a better understanding of how their body moves. You know, do they have a stiff shoulder? Do they have a lack of, you know, forearm rotation? You know, there's a lot of things that will affect the way you move when you swing a golf club. And if we don't identify those things before we start teaching them, we may ask them to move a certain way and they're not physically capable of doing it.
Right.
So we always like to get a feel for that. And then we, you know, have them hit some shots and we put their golf swing on video and we show them the way their body's moving and the way the club is moving. And we use TrackMan and get their numbers, you know, on how the golf ball's flying and stuff like that. And we say, okay, based on what your goals are, that we talked about earlier, and the physical limitations that you have or do not have, this is how you're moving and this is how you're swinging, and here are the things that we need to change in order for you to achieve those goals. So it kind of all comes full circle at the end of the session, and it becomes really clear, you know, the exact, you know, things that we need to do to help the student, you know, have a really good experience. So that's what happens in that first session.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, older people that are returning to the game, you know, I'm certainly not as limber as I used to be, but there are some drills and some things that you can make golf specific that will get players to be able to turn a little bit more and do some of the things that's going to improve their game.
Absolutely. You know, and it's funny because, you may have somebody who, has a limitation. Like, let's say, for example, you can't touch your toes. And you have tight hamstrings and tight calves, and your ankles aren't moving very well. There is things that happen in the golf swing if you can't touch your toes that make you hit bad golf shots. And if we can explain what we call the body swing connection to a player, where okay, you can't touch your toes, here are the muscle groups that are tight for you,
right?
And here's the types of shots that you're hitting as a result of that. And, you know, if we can kind of explain it in that nature to someone, it changes their level of motivation for wanting to get into a stretching regimen or do yoga or whatever, you know, whatever we need to do in order to get them touching their toes eventually. I'm 6'5". When I first started doing this TPI stuff, I couldn't touch my toes. And now I can because I know, if I don't, if I get tight and I'm sitting in my office chair for too long, too many hours a day, I'm going to hit thin shots or I'm going to hit the ball on the toe a little bit more because I really extend on my downswing. So it gives you, it gives you a little bit more motivation to want to get better at those.
I've been working on golf physicality now for a couple of years because that's the easiest thing you can do in the winter, not being able to do much about golf. If you stay limber, that you're going to be ready to take on the golf course. There's a website that I've been going to for a long time called Dynamic Golfer that has huge stretching regimens that you work in and out of that really did a lot of good for me last year. So when you start seeing what your limitations are or those go away and a reason you're going to enjoy golf more.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm totally in agreement with you on that one.
Yeah.
And with that, you're a tall guy too, so you probably have some of the same issues that I have. Your golf swing.
Other than the fact that it's not nearly as good as yours, yes. Joe has a beautiful golf swing. You know, Joe swings the ball, a club, and you go, oh, yeah, you are a golf pro, aren't you? But, and it's funny because Joe and I have had this discussion a number of times, and one of the reasons I like Joe so much is because he is tall, and most of the other people I've ever worked with in golf are not. You see them hit the ball like Louis Oosthuizen, and I go, well, that guy's 5'9". There's not nearly as much that's going to go wrong. One of the things you always pointed out to me when we watched on video, and I'm like, well, I really don't like my backswing. But you always say the same thing to me, but Jerry, your swing through really has a lot of elements of closer to a tour player. So it's all depends on how you're hitting the ball and how you're getting through the ball.
Yeah, I mean, there's different, ways to think about the golf swing. You know, you can either build a pretty golf swing or you can build an efficient golf swing that works for you and achieves your goals. And I would make the argument that you have a pretty efficient swing, Jerry. I mean, you're selling yourself a little bit short. It's all about what the ball's doing at the end of the day.
Right.
We don't really care if you have a swing that looks like Adam Scott. But if you can move the ball the right way and we can make changes potentially that help you, become more efficient doing that, then that's what it's all about. Have more fun, enjoy the game more. We find a swing for you that works with your body and your, the way you move that helps you do that better, you're gonna have more fun for sure.
Joe, let's say I come into you and ultimately we want to just be better. We want to shoot lower scores. That might not be I'm blasting another extra 50 yards or whatever. Do you ever, after working with a player for a number of lessons or weeks, and go, well, we're about where we can be with distance or this and that. Maybe we work on other things to improve your score, like getting your short game better, getting your putter better, because it's all about the number you write on the card.
Yeah. So there's players that, that is the most important thing, is scoring better. We have some golfers that come take lessons from us that keep score. I would say a third of golfers out there don't keep score on a regular basis. They don't have a handicap. And all they want to do is hit their driver 10 more yards in the air. Or they want to get rid of that slice and be able to, not hit it out of bounds 6 times every time they play. So we teach everybody a little bit differently, but our favorite players are the ones you just described, the ones that care about their score. So, for those types of players, obviously, short game is going to be huge. If we can get them working on some different drills that, you know, are scoring-based drills where they're learning. Because it is kind of a knack, right, for getting the ball in the hole. There's an art form to it.
Yeah.
You know, you see guys on the PGA Tour that, you know, don't always hit it the best. Like, you know, one of them won 2 weeks ago, Jordan Spieth, right?
Right.
Not the best ball striker on tour, but, man, that kid has a knack for getting the ball in the hole, doesn't he? And he's made a lot of money doing it over the years. And, you know, we love those types of players and training them.
When we return here on Finding Fairways, we'll talk a little bit more about some of that pro mentality that you can seep into your game. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio, Finding Fairways, brought to us by CarlsGolfPlan.com. Here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by CarlsGolfLand.com. Jerry Coyne's in studio with Jim Erickson, who is the brand new owner of the Patriot Golf Club, the newly renamed and reorganized Patriot Golf Club, right here in our backyard of Grayling. It used to be called Fox Run. Jim, congratulations. Welcome to small business ownership.
Hey, thank you. It's been pretty busy so far.
I'll bet. So I guess I got to start with the first question is, why a golf course?
That's an interesting question for sure.
I mean, most people want to buy a bar, right? You know, you want to own a bar.
Good news, we got both, the golf course and the bar.
Yeah.
Really started golf Fox Run, well, what used to be Fox Run.
Yep.
And during that golf outing with a couple friends, they mentioned that the course was for sale.
Oh, okay.
So
this was last year?
Yeah, about 11, 12 months ago now.
Okay.
And I got this crazy idea, and I looked at it on Realtor and started figuring things out in my head and went home and mentioned it to my wife, Chris, that I had a bright idea, and she was not really conducive to that right away.
Right.
She actually told me I was crazy, and a few days later we discussed it further, and then we started to look into it a little more, and that kind of got the ball rolling.
Yeah, you know, golf is booming right now, so there's that, the good aspect of it. But like you said, it's not really just owning a golf course. It's owning a restaurant. It's owning a bar. And it's owning an agronomy company.
Yes. That's absolutely true. And we've got a lot to learn because we have never ran a golf course or a business for that matter.
Okay.
So luckily for us, the superintendent, Mike Brown, has stayed on board.
Awesome.
He's been there for 20
plus
years.
Yeah, he does a good job. You know, it's always in really good shape.
Yep, he does a nice job, and he actually brought more people onto the grounds crew that had left Fox Run a few years ago. And so they came back to meet the new owners and help us out. And like I said, we're learning a lot really quickly.
Yeah, well, you're going to find out how important the maintenance is. You know, that is the people come out and play a golf course once, but if it's in ragged shape, you don't often get them back.
That's exactly right, and we know that. You know, both Chris and I are golfers, avid golfers, and obviously, course management's very important.
Right.
And we know that people are going to see the new owners and potentially come back and give us a chance or see what we're all about. Hopefully, they come out and have fun, enjoy the course, and find out what the Patriot's all about.
Yeah. Why the Patriot?
So the Patriot comes from, really, I'm a Navy veteran.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yep.
I was on the aircraft carrier Theodore Roosevelt back in the early 90s.
Wow.
And
that's a big boat.
That is a big boat. And
isn't that the largest aircraft carrier in the fleet, or are they all run about the same size now? I hear that name quite a bit when we're engaged somewhere.
Yeah, it's very funny because the military builds the aircraft carrier is a foot or two bigger every time, so they can say it's the largest. So the Theodore Roosevelt was once the largest,
okay,
but they've got a handful of aircraft carriers.
Not anymore. Why the Patriot?
Yeah. Yes, that goes back to me being a veteran,
right.
And we have lots of family members that are veterans, first responders, police officers.
Plus, you're right down the road from Camp Grayling.
And obviously Camp Grayling comes into play.
So I'm assuming there's military rates.
There is. We've actually lowered our rates from what the pass rates were last season.
Oh, okay.
Right? Again, trying to bring people back to the course to show them what we're all about. There's military rates. They get the lowest rate, and then followed by Fox Run or 4 Mile Road employees, because I work at Arauco.
Right.
I'm the safety manager there. And then senior rates, and then normal everyday.
So we're just starting the season now. The weather came out, and some people are on the golf courses here in northern Michigan, thank the Lord. Are you going to have seasonal rates, or is it going to stay the same all the way across the board?
Nope. So we are seasonal at the beginning of the year, I believe. I don't have the sheet in front of me exactly, but I believe it's from now till June 1st.
That's generally speaking what we do.
Yep, and then we'll roll out the late season fall rates.
So right now, 9 and 18, what are we looking at if you're not military?
Ooh, I don't have the sheet in front of me exactly, so I don't.
Well, let's just call it.
I know right now, 9 holes of golf is $22 with a cart.
With a cart, all right.
That's not senior rates or veteran rates.
Right. So probably 35 or 40 for 18.
Yep.
Yeah. So did you make any changes to either the golf course or the clubhouse?
We have made changes to the clubhouse. We didn't get the deal closed as quickly as we wanted to.
Yeah, I know. I was talking to you on the phone, and unfortunately, they never do close as quickly as you think they do. So I feel your pain.
Yep. So we took in the women's restroom. That was an area of focus for Chris.
Yeah.
They had updated the men's room and not the women's. So obviously, we went and have updated the women's restroom. We've done some other things with decor and that type of thing. Even on the course, same thing.
Uh-huh. And I know I saw on Facebook, you are, even though you've got more maintenance staff than you did before, you're looking for help.
Yes, we are. We're still looking for help. The beverage cart, bartenders, when we do
shouldn't
get...
have any problem finding a beverage cart girl or two.
No, and actually they've been coming around a little bit more recently,
good.
So that's a good thing.
It's a great way for a purposeful young lady can make a good living running the beverage cart.
I would not know that, Jerry, but I would imagine that's the case.
Well, I've seen it. Not necessarily have I frequented the beverage cart, lies, but, you know, some guys and gals prefer to just drink and have fun as opposed to being a little bit more serious about the golf. So.
True, and that's really what we're all about. We're
right.
We're building a team that's going to like to have fun and have good personalities, and obviously not everyone's a great golfer. Some people take it for more of the fun than they do the serious end of it, and we're just out to enjoy and have a good time.
Well, you know, as I said, we wish you all the best in the world. And we'll have you on a couple more times this year to see how the things are going at the Patriot. When did you first learn to play golf? How old were you?
I was about 8 years old.
Oh, wow.
My,
okay.
My great uncle started teaching me the game a long, long time ago. I hate to say how many years ago that was, but he had very, rest his soul, he had a lot of patience with me.
Well, that should be helpful when you're first learning the game, and that's why, you know, husbands and wives shouldn't teach each other the game.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I tried to teach Chris early on in our relationship, didn't go that well, but then we played Globe Golf.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've ever played Globe Golf. But
I have played Globe Golf.
It's quite a bit of fun, so she enjoyed that a lot more than she did the day early days in our relationship when I was a little more impatient.
So Jim and Chris Erickson, I was kind of hoping Chris was going to join us because I wanted to have the both of you on, but you already have golfers out there, so...
She is awful busy.
Yeah, no, that's good. You know, my wife Cheryl and I own the radio stations, and I'll give you some pointers on things to do and not to do when you're in business with your wife. But we're so excited for Jim and Chris Erickson to join us here in the Grayling community, and welcome to golf course ownership.
I appreciate it.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of Finding Fairways. As we like to say around these parts, find a fairway of your own, stick a peg in the ground, pound it down the middle. We'll be with you next week. Thanks to our good friends at carlsgolfland.com. It's time to check in with our good friends at Boeing Golf. Ken Griffin's on the phone. Ken, we have had about as perfect week of golf weather as you can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, mid-60s and the courses are in great shape. I had an opportunity to play the Alpine last weekend, and then we had an event, so I was on the Arthur Hills earlier this week. And I don't think I've ever seen the courses in better shape this early in June.
That's been the report just about all over the state. Courses are in fantastic condition, and with the weather holding, you better get on BoeingGolf.com and start figuring out when and where you're going to play.
Yeah, I mean, we had a great May. Our rounds were up even over last year, what was a very, very, very good year. So I would totally concur. Don't delay in booking a tee time to get you both the lowest price and the best selection of availability.
Yeah, Ken, let's talk about that for a minute, because obviously we're going over stations across the state, so we want people to do stay-in plays. But locals can get in on the website and get tee times in just an hour or so.
Yeah, well, I mean, our tee sheet's an open book. It's right through the end of summer. So anytime you think you're going to have time available, you can go on and look at your tee sheet, see the price, find a price that fits an opening in the schedule and something that fits your budget, because it's all based on how busy it is at any given time, what price you will pay. You know, you have those options to do that. And, you know, we have some things out there. We have a daily double where you get two rounds without having lodging. Or, you know, if you just want to have a tee time, or we have happy hour tee times after 5 o'clock, the price is typically one of the best prices of the day.
And right now, with the summer extending into 10 o'clock, you can get 18 in if you hustle.
Easily. But hopefully that won't happen on Monday and Tuesday next week. The guys should have their rounds in for no problem with the Adidas State program that we're playing on the Arthur Hills and Heather courses at the Highlands.
Yeah, always something great going on. You're hosting tournaments throughout the year. And with 10 courses open, there's never a chance not to get on one of the courses.
We can find a spot for you. So all you have to do is visit BoeingGolf.com, and you can look at the course information, package information, or to book your tee times.
Thanks, Ken. We'll be doing that. Get on over to BoeingGolf.com and tee it up today.